So Nicholas heard about this story and he wanted to help, but he didn't want to hurt this man's pride. So instead he threw a sack of gold coins down the chimney, which landed in their stockings, which were hanging out to dry. So the family,
that's a good shot, dude. That's like a trick shot for the ages right there.
Right. I imagine it as like this sack of coins. And then like some of the coins kind of fell out into like their socks. But
imagine like Santa's got like a film crew and he's like, hey guys, check out this shot. And then he fucking banks it and it goes in. And then everyone filming is like, oh.
Yeah, I guess it would be like that. Sure. It
would be.
Yeah.
That's a good shot.
It goes viral on TikTok.
It would.
Hello, welcome back to Shit They Don't Tell You. I'm Nikki Limo.
Hello, everybody. What's up? My name is Steve Green. I now have COVID and 19.
Yeah, today we're recording our episode from home and also from Zoom in separate rooms because Steve is quarantined within our quarantine in our house.
I'm in
because
the quarantine.
He is positive for COVID-19.
I'm in ground zero over here, folks.
This is the first time if you're watching on YouTube, you can actually see what his COVID cave looks like. This is the first time I've seen you in your natural habitat in like 6 days.
Yeah, it's pretty interesting in here. It definitely, I can't wait to get out. It's claustrophobic in here. I have not seen or felt sunlight. I have not.
I mean, you could open that window curtain.
Yeah, okay, this window curtain just looks into a neighbor's house and they always have the blinds open, so it's super awkward. So I'm
that chill. Is awkward. And there's piles of laundry behind Steve right now because I washed and folded all of our laundry that had been building up for weeks, and I used the whole day to do laundry, and then I left them in his office not knowing he was about to be quarantined for eternity.
Listen, I got plenty of towels in here, folks. Don't even worry about my towel situation.
I have no towels. Zero towels.
My towel situation couldn't be better.
But that's neither here nor there. We're getting into the holiday season here. And by the way, if you are listening to it as it comes out, I think we are going to take the next 2 weeks off. So next week, which would fall on Christmas Eve, and then the following week, which would land on New Year's Eve, we will not have episodes coming out because my husband has COVID and we should probably rest. But
and also, you guys aren't listening to anything on Christmas Eve anyway, and you know it, or New Year's Eve. So shut up.
And if you do need something to listen to, you could listen to all of our library of videos.
That's right. Go listen to ones you can listen to, okay?
Yeah. There's a lot.
Yeah.
So I get repeat requests for topics that we already covered like 2 years ago. But obviously, I mean, if you weren't around 2 years ago, then you didn't know we did those topics. So, you know, it's a little gift from us to you. Merry Christmas.
You're welcome.
Today, I thought we would do the origins of Santa Claus because that seemed very fitting for this holiday season, right?
Yeah, no, it's great. Is this the origins of Santa Claus, the man, or of the legal apparatus that passes down the hat to different people?
The corporate apparatus?
No, the legal one, the Santa Claus. Yeah, you know what I'm talking
about? Oh, the Santa Claus. No, Tim Allen has full legal rights to all of that.
I understand. So he is, in fact, still... Okay, got it.
He is still the Santa Claus.
I understand. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying.
And there's something that happened with his brother, Jack Frost, or something. I don't watch that one.
I fell asleep.
Yeah.
Mercifully.
We won't get into that one.
I mercifully stayed asleep as well.
Yes, exactly. Yes. But there, you know what I found surprising is I wanted to do this episode and, you know, me not knowing anything about the origins of Santa Claus other than I heard that there was actually a Nicholas that became a saint that was a very nice guy that gave away gifts, but I didn't know that there were so many theories on where Santa Claus actually originated from. Did you know?
Wait. Okay. So my understanding is exactly what you just said, and maybe you even said more than I even knew. I just knew that he was a real guy that existed at one point.
Right. Right.
And he nicely gave toys to kids.
Maybe.
A little bit.
Maybe. Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. So I'm going to go over all of the theories, and you can tell me which one you think.
Did he have elves?
From. In one of the theories.
Yes. Okay. That's going to be my favorite theory. I'm excited for it.
Okay. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. So we'll start off with the one that we both think of when we think of the origins of Saint Nick, which was that he was a real guy that existed. So let me introduce you to Nicholas of Bari. He was born in the 4th century in the town of Myra, which is currently modern day Turkey. By the way, this info that I am describing right now, I got everything from this channel called Biographies. Is that what it's called? I feel like maybe my autocorrect corrected it to that.
It's a tube channel?
Yeah, it's a tube channel. I think it's called Biographies, but if not, I will correct it and put the link in the description. But anyway, back to Nicholas. Okay, so he was born in the town of Myra, which is now modern day Turkey, and his parents were very wealthy Christians, but his parents died shortly after giving birth to Nicholas, so Nicholas became an orphan. His uncle raised him, and his uncle supposedly prophesied that Nicholas would do a lot for the world, which kind of, you know, came true.
Doesn't everybody prophesy that or hope that?
Right. I mean, everyone thinks their kid's the best. They're like, this kid's going to change the world. But his uncle really believed in him. I think that's pretty nice because a lot of orphans have like more traumatic stories than that. But his uncle was pretty cool. Pretty chill dude. Believed in him. Was like, this kid's got it. This kid's going to be a star. And Nicholas was always very kind. Like, he always wanted to do things for the poor, the less fortunate. He also had a soft spot for children and would often help them make handmade toys to play with.
I see.
Huh? Yeah.
Wait, why is he doing it though? The elves are supposed to be.
Well, he didn't have elves yet.
Oh, I see.
Maybe he acquired them later after he became more capitalist and he was like, oh, revenues are up and we can hire employees and.
We have W-2s. To provide for our shareholders, I say.
We have to expand into China. Yeah, so there was one story about this man that was living in his town, and this man had three beautiful daughters, but he couldn't afford a dowry. He was a very poor man, which meant that the daughters would have to be sold into slavery because the father could no longer support them.
That's a bitch, dude.
I know. Can you imagine living in those times where, like, either you have to be able to pay buttloads of money for your daughter to go to some, like, guy that could support her, or she gets sold into slavery and, you know, probably gets raped all of her life until she dies.
Fantastic.
Great. Good time to be a woman. Anyway, so Nicholas heard about this story and he wanted to help, but he didn't want to hurt this man's pride. So instead, he threw a sack of gold coins down the chimney, which landed in their stockings, which were hanging out to dry. So the family.
Well, that's a good shot, dude. That's like a trick shot for the ages right there.
Right? I imagine it as like this sack of coins and then like some of the coins kind of fell out into like their socks. But
I imagine like Santa's got like a film crew and he's like, hey guys, check out this shot. And then he fucking banks it and it goes in. And then everyone filming is like, oh!
Yeah, I guess it would be like that. Sure. It
would be.
Yeah.
That's a good shot.
It goes viral on TikTok.
It would.
Yeah. Well, so at the time, the family thought God had answered their prayers and the man was able to pay a dowry for his oldest daughter. And she got married off to a very nice man who took a handsome dowry. And then Nicholas came back in the following years to do it again for the other two daughters, which is when he got caught. And they were like, oh, it wasn't God. It was Nicholas who was doing it. So then everyone in the town knew that this gold was coming from him. And he was also known to anonymously donate his inheritance to people whose lives he knew it would change. So he was a very giving soul. And pretty soon, everyone in the town was hanging their stockings up in the fire chimney, however that works, you know.
Your words are poetry, Nikki Lima.
Listen, I live in Southern California. We don't have fireplaces. There's no need. But I imagine that, you know, on a mantle or in the chimney.
We do have heaters when it hits 72, though.
We do have a nest, yes. So maybe we should hang our stockings on the nest.
There you go.
Hang our stockings on the solar panel with care. So anyway, people in the town started getting all like, oh, maybe if I hang my stockings up, then I could get an anonymous present. And
who wouldn't?
Right. Exactly. But this also sparked a spirit of giving among the town because they were just so touched by how generous this guy Nicholas was. And so soon neighbors began to help each other and it really became like this season of giving. And even when it wasn't Nicholas that did the anonymous gift, people would credit Nicholas because he was like the first known for it. So,
you know what, if he was doing this shit in 2020 though, they'd be like, why does it have to be a season of giving? Why can't it be every single time of the year? Actually, Nicholas sucks.
Well, that's how it's supposed to kind of translate, is that like Christmas reminds you to give it, be in the giving spirit, and then you carry it hopefully throughout the rest of the year.
Nah, only in the winter months, thank you.
And I don't even know if he just did it in the winter months. I think he just did this all of his life. He like dedicated his life to doing this kind of shit. But anyway, what I was trying to say, because I was in the middle of my sentence, but he was getting credited even if it wasn't him doing the gifting. And so it made it seem like he was in all these different places at one time. So people started believing like he was a very holy man that had magic powers. And so they made him a saint. In fact, the patron saint of children and sailors.
Why sailors?
Well, it's weird because like, so he liked sailing, I guess, too. But a few dozen times, sailors would talk about how like they were in some crazy sea waters and they thought they were going to die. And like, it was like so crazy. And they would pray to Saint Nicholas and then the waters would calm and they'd be guided to safety. So he became a patron saint of sailors, too.
All right.
He did do some traveling and sailing, but, you know, I don't know. He was, sailors liked him. Kids and sailors, they really liked him. So lots of people would pray to him, you know, in times of need. Like if they were struggling, they would pray to him. But then he began asking people to write letters instead of prayers because letters were a lot easier to keep track of. So, you know, we still write to Santa Claus a lot. That's where that came from. So stories about Saint Nicholas started to spread out through the rest of the world. And in the Netherlands, Belgium, and Switzerland, kids would leave their shoes out hoping for gifts from Sinterklaas and would awake in the morning to small gifts and chocolates in their shoes. And then sometime down the road, Martin Luther, you know that guy, Martin Luther?
Mm-hmm.
He started getting sick of Catholic saints. So he was like, no more. He started saying these gifts aren't from Sinterklaas. They're from baby Jesus, okay? Otherwise known as Christkindle. But people were really confused because they knew that the gifts were actually coming from Nicholas. So they mistook the name as Kris Kringle. They thought he was just calling him by his nickname, Kris Kringle.
So it was just a mistake.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, and then so fast forward to the beginnings of America, there was an author named Washington Irving. You might know him from such writings as The Legend of Sleepy Hollow and Rip Van Winkle. Well, he heard about the Dutch Sinterklaas and renamed him the American version Santa Claus. And this just kept getting added on to decade after decade of throughout the generations. Of like, you know, there was this poet that wrote a poem and now we know it as The Night Before Christmas. And then every American knew it by the next year because it was just so catchy, you know?
So it's just a big game of telephone. Everyone's kind of telling their story.
Yeah. Yeah. And it starts evolving. And then he becomes this like bigger than light, larger than life, like mythical being that delivers tons of gifts in one night or all around the world to all of the children.
Interesting.
So yeah, that's theory number one. Theory number two, and this is perhaps my favorite theory, although I don't know if it's the one, but this is my favorite theory. So there's another theory that magic mushrooms are actually attributed to everything that we do during this time of year. Like there was no Saint Nicholas, there was only magic mushrooms. Okay. This one comes from the YouTube channel School of Life. This is where I got a lot of this information. So they say that a lot of Christmas traditions can be linked to magic mushrooms. Specifically the magic mushroom Amanita muscaria, which is like that red mushroom that has the white dots, you know, like the cartoon.
Oh, the
one
typical the Mario one.
The Mario one, yeah.
To enlarge Mario.
I didn't even know those were real. I thought those were like Willy Wonka fake ones. Same. I didn't know. I didn't know that those were real things. They're actually real, and they are magic hallucinogen mushrooms.
Is that what's behind Mario? So, like, the way he uses mushrooms is to make himself better? Yeah, it's got to be, right? It's a big joke.
Larger than life. He's like, whoa, I'm big now.
He uses mushrooms to become invincible and shit?
He doesn't use it to become invincible. That's a star, you fucking stupid ass.
Wait, what are you talking about? He uses
the star makes you invincible. No, the mushroom.
The green ones literally give you more lives.
That gives you an extra life, but so that's the green one. That's the green one. You
collect enough of them and you're invincible.
That's a green one.
I don't even know.
That's not an Amanita muscaria. The Amanita muscarias make him bigger. Oh my God.
No, I'm talking about how they use mushrooms.
I can't even.
No, Nikki. I'm talking about how they use mushrooms in the game to make him basically invincible because he has so many fucking extra lives through mushrooms.
I don't know about the green one. There's no one-up mushrooms in this story.
Okay, but you know what I'm talking about. Okay.
Yeah, but the red ones make you bigger.
I know, and the green ones give you extra lives. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Very insightful. Okay.
Hey, same to you, right back at you, pal.
Can I just continue with fucking Santa Claus?
Go ahead.
Okay, so across many cultures throughout history, people really valued these mushrooms, the Amanita muscaria. I just like saying the name. It sounds like so fancy.
I couldn't say it.
They really valued them for their hallucinogenic properties. They just wanted to get fucked up. Like, there wasn't a lot to do back then. So they were like, oh, hell yeah, you got those mushrooms? Yes, we're going to have a good time. So they...
When's back then? How long ago was this?
I didn't take good notes, so I don't...
Oh,
I don't
very
know.
Good.
I don't know. So
this is the time they're making alcohol in their bathtub and shit, though, right?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, sure. So the people that collected these mushrooms were called shaman. And a shaman directly translates to religious specialist. You've heard of shaman, right? Like people,
and
do DMT or not DMT. Oh, it's ayahuasca, and they use you need a shaman to do that.
Yep.
Right. Okay. So each year the shaman would collect the mushrooms and they would dry them and then they would load them into a big sack. And then on December 25th, during the winter solstice, they would go from house to house to deliver their gifts. See, they were holding these stacks. Furthermore, these shaman were bearded men who wore red and white to honor the mushroom. And they had these pointy hats. So, like, imagine bearded men in red and white clothes with a big sack delivering gifts, aka mushrooms.
That's okay? A good brand. They were branding it back then.
Yeah, exactly. So,
it's like UPS drivers wearing brown.
Sure. Yeah, exactly. So they these are a bunch of Santa Clauses running around. And like, you don't see more than one shaman at a time because like I suppose they split up into different areas to be efficient with their gift giving. So anyway, during the winter solstice, the entries to people's homes were buried under the snow. So the best way to give them these gifts was through the chimney, motherfucker. And the colors of Christmas even are red and green, right? Because the Amanita muscaria mushrooms grow underneath the green evergreen trees. So it represents, all the little gifts that you have under the tree, they would wrap them in red and white paper. And those would represent the mushrooms growing underneath the evergreen tree, the Christmas tree that you bring into your home.
So far, this is way more interesting than the story of Jesus. So I get why this took over as like, why?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's way more interesting.
It's like, okay, yeah. Dude, a baby was born in the manger or let's get fucked up on mushrooms.
I had a baby born in the manger. Dude, I fall asleep every single Sunday school about that
shit. Same. Or they're like, we three kings of all.
Oh my God.
Get a better song.
Hey, you don't have to sing every fucking single part of the story.
It's just so drab. Like even the way they sing is like, heaven kissed that and that. Okay, yeah. Get out. We're
that's
done.
That's like when I found out Les Miserables was a musical and they don't stop singing. That's how I felt during Sunday school. I was like, oh my God, they don't stop singing.
Or how about that drummer boy that didn't have gifts, so he just played the drums. Like, oh yeah, thanks, guy. Like, I really needed to hear a snare drum.
Yeah, guess what? I have neighbors who play the drums. I don't want, that's not a gift.
It's not actually a gift.
It's a noise complaint.
Take it back. I want a refund.
Yeah, they didn't have the fucking cops back then. They didn't have good noise complaint laws.
Couldn't make a noise complaint at all.
Nope. Yeah, no one to go to. The town square, maybe.
So the story of Jesus has nothing to do with Santa, unfortunately. So we're not even talking about that story here.
Much to my mother's chagrin.
But I always wondered, like, how did they conflate the story of Jesus being born with this bearded huge belly guy that goes around giving gifts.
Everyone's doing mushrooms, but that's it.
We'll get there. Okay, so back to the mushrooms. So since Amanita muscarias are poisonous, there's hasn't been a lot of fatalities attributed to them, but they still like are considered poisonous. So the shamans would hang them, so the poison would dry. They would hang them on tree branches in order to dry. And it looked, because they're bright red, it looked a lot like ornaments on a Christmas tree. Because they would hang them from evergreen trees. Wow. So we replicate this tradition of like putting red ornaments on a Christmas tree. Well, now, I mean, we have all different colors, but the traditional color was red.
Where do they, how do they get to inflatable polar bears from Target on people's lawns?
Mushrooms.
Okay, got it.
Think about it. You're on shrooms.
No question.
What do you want to see? Bright lights and crazy inflatable shit.
Very true.
Okay. Also, reindeer. Oh, this all happened in Siberia, by the way. So reindeer are really common in Siberia, and they also would often graze on the mushrooms. They like to get fucked up too. And Siberians who ate the mushrooms may have hallucinated that these reindeer were flying. Yeah. So that's probably my favorite, is that Santas are actually shamans delivering magic mushrooms.
Dude, I think a lot of religious stuff is tied into drug use.
Absolutely.
No
I mean,
question.
Jesus himself turned water into wine. Why did he need to do that?
No. Dude, Moses parting the Red Sea, you know everyone got so fucked up. They're like, Moses, you were on fire last night, bro.
Yeah, well, and he also, wasn't it Moses that, he's held up a stone tablet, and then that's when the commandments landed on it.
I don't know. I think so. Oh no, I think he went to, he returned with it. I don't know.
Yeah. I don't know either.
We'll have to do another one on it.
Listen, everybody was on drugs because there's nothing to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Except for like milk goats and shit.
Yeah. So maybe you can relate during this pandemic that this is the most close to Christmas of the origins that we have ever gotten.
What's your excuse for not creating your own religion? That's really what I have to say.
You could believe in anything.
Yeah, you can create your own religion during the pandemic.
So I have two other theories about the history of Santa Claus.
Okay.
But they are on the darker side.
Yes.
And I will talk about them with you after this break.
Hey, thanks for listening to our podcast. We just want to take a break to tell you to thanks for listening to our podcast. And if you want to rate it, that would be really awesome for us.
Listen, we're on break. We're not talking to you like podcast hosts right now. We're just talking to you like people.
As a friend.
And we just want to say, please rate the show, because it helps out huge amounts.
We're not desperate. We're kind of desperate.
We're giving shout outs right now to all the people who are giving it ratings. So huge shout out right now to Brian Jorgensen. That was sick of you, dude. Thank you. God bless. Huge shout out right now to Mark W. in Springfield, Connecticut.
Back to our podcast.
Jenny Blight.
Hey, back to our podcast.
In Tuscany,
and
Florida.
Back to our podcast.
God bless you. Thank you.
Steven.
Thank you for supporting the show.
Okay, we're back. So, before the break, I talked about how these next two theories get kind of dark. And Steve was rather excited about that.
I am.
Why are you excited about that?
Well, I feel like it was already pretty dark, honestly. You're talking about a bunch of people getting fucked up and creating a whole thing. So this is going to be extra
mushrooms?
Dark.
No. They were having a good time.
Yeah, but when I think about a man in a beard, in a red and white coat coming to my house in the middle of the night and giving me mushrooms, I'm freaked out already.
Well, yeah, but because the shamans didn't go down the chimney. They just put the sack down the chimney.
They had to climb up on your roof, though, in the middle of the night.
No, they weren't. Your house is buried in snow. They couldn't get to your front door.
My bad.
Yeah, that's why they... Sense. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
They were like, I'm not going to dig through the snow to get... That's not very efficient.
Dude, don't 10 people live in Siberia, too?
I don't know. I've never
been
there.
Damn, that would suck to live in Siberia, probably.
Where's Siberia?
It's in Russia. It's eastern Russia, I think.
Oh, okay. Interesting. All right, so... This has to do with Odin. And I got a lot of this information from the History with Hilbert, that channel on YouTube. And have you heard of Odin at all?
Odin is the son, the father of Thor.
No. Well, maybe.
Yeah, what are you talking about?
I don't know.
He absolutely is. What are you talking about?
Maybe.
You ever watched a Marvel movie before?
Dude, I'm not arguing with you. I went, oh, maybe.
No, it isn't.
Why are you so ready to fight? Does COVID make you want to fight?
Yeah, I do want to fight.
Jeez. Calm down.
No, I'm not running a fight. I'm just saying, I'm talking about how, Odin is the father of Thor, bud.
Okay, cool. Well, he was also a Norse god.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So is Thor.
All right, he's Thor's dad. Whatever. Whatever makes you sleep at night. Okay, so winter solstice, which is the time of now, winter solstice is traditionally always the darkest time of the year. So these pagans would bring in as much light, like light and joy and happiness as they could during this time. They would bring it into their houses. So they would light up their houses and they would, sing songs and be merry. And they would give gifts for the inner light and love and happiness. And they would celebrate the light coming back, because after you get over this hump of winter solstice, where the days are very dark, the days start to get lighter again. So they would like celebrate the return of the light. Okay. And then they would also bring evergreen trees into their houses. Because that would represent how life carries on. Okay. So the Dutch celebrated Sinterklaas, which was celebrated on the 5th of the month, not the 25th. But there was a lot of similarities to Odin, who was a one-eyed wandering god. He was bearded, just like Sinterklaas. And he kind of looked like a pirate, but he was like a ghost god, okay? And he would also fly through the sky on a chariot with his eight-legged horse pulling the reins. Which is weird because there are eight reindeer, right? Mm-hmm. And then this guy, Odin, he also gave a lot of gifts. He's also known as Jolfather, or as it became known as like the Yule Father, which is Father Christmas, but with different words. Even the word jolly, they think, might have derived from this word, Jolfather. He was also famous for the wild hunt, which was a night where a lot of the other riders in the night sky. So he would fly through the sky in a chariot, right? Well, there were a lot of other riders that would ride through the sky, and they would hunt a mystical creature. And you weren't supposed to go out that night or look up at the sky to see them, or you might get dragged in the hunt, which is like, oh, you're not supposed to go try to see Santa Claus at night. They would also participate in blot, which is blood, which is an animal sacrifice ritual. They would sacrifice an animal and they would eat it, much like people now still sacrifice a turkey for Christmas and eat it.
Or ham. Some people do the Christmas
or ham.
Thank you.
It was actually, in the picture that I saw, they were sacrificing a boar, which is
there you go.
Ham. Yeah. Yeah, so Odin is, this dude. And, sometimes they would, people would leave out grains and different foods, possibly cookies for him.
What did Thor do, you think?
Hmm?
What did Thor do during all this, you think? Probably.
Well, he probably wasn't born yet.
Oh, I see. This is, like, the pre-Thor days.
Yeah, it's, like, the prequel.
Oh, cool, man.
Yeah. Yeah, okay, so that's Odin, and this kind of crosses over with the darkest version of Santa Claus. Are you ready for the final version of Santa Claus?
I mean, that wasn't that dark, I gotta say. I was expecting some pretty fucked up shit.
Yeah, I think I might have. I mean, this is just, that's an intro, because it was like the pagans were celebrating him, you know. Are you okay?
I'm good.
Okay. He has COVID, everybody. Please be nice.
Be respectful. Thank you.
Be respectful. Okay. So this is the darkest version. I may have mixed it up a little bit because I really thought that was going to get darker. I recalled it being a little bit darker, but I don't know. Maybe it's just because it wasn't this big jolly man.
You could have made it dark as dark as you want, as long as you end it with, and then he died.
Well, there was a blood animal sacrifice ritual.
Oh, that's pretty good.
Oh, that was kind of dark.
You didn't really lean into it, though, so I wasn't thinking, oh, that's pretty fucked up. Oh,
true. I mean, when you think of St. Nicholas, he was just, a nice man that saved people from going into sex slavery.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and he actually
dedicated... Wouldn't you put it like that?
He dedicated his life to... He became, a monk. He dedicated his life to, helping the poor. He would speak out about things that were going on in the Catholic Church that he didn't think were okay. And one time, oh, I don't know why I didn't go over this, but one time he actually saw a family of kids getting abducted and he went and he rescued them.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Did he use super strong tinsel probably?
No, he just rescued them normal.
Oh, okay.
No. No, he was much more human rescue.
I see.
Yeah. But okay, so to the dark version though. And this is why some people, especially in the Christian religion, say that Christmas, this Santa Claus thing, this is not Christian, okay? Like, I don't know why Christians celebrate, no, not me, but like the Christian, if I'm one of these people, like, I'm like, well, I don't know why all these so-called Christians are welcoming this notion of Santa Claus, or like why they would even tell their kids about it or acknowledge that there's a Santa Claus at all.
I get it. This is your personal opinion, is what you're trying to say.
Not my personal opinion.
Yeah.
But Santa's been very controversial in the Christian religion, which is supposed to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ, right? Well, there's actually no evidence that Jesus was born on December 25th. In fact, some people say he was born in September. There's a lot of different theories on that too, but this isn't about the birth of Jesus.
Look, we all had a neighbor growing up whose mom was like, you shouldn't be worshiping, okay, Santa Claus. It's all about the birth of Jesus, actually. See,
so that's what I thought it was. I thought it was just that, like, worshiping false gods, right?
Yeah.
And I thought that, like, oh, like, they just don't like that Santa's commercialized Christmas, right? And taken away from the birth of Jesus. But it's actually much darker than that.
Really? Because it was always dark for me because I saw a kid who was never allowed to have fun at Christmas time with the rest of us. Like, they're always dark. Like, oh my God, my mom won't let me. This sucks.
That's pretty dark. But yeah. When you find out the why, it's much more understandable.
Okay.
So this dark version, I got all of this information came from a channel called The Messenger of the Name. That's the name of the channel. So if there's any inaccuracies, basically I'm just telling you the names of all these channels. So the liability is on them. It's not on me. I just watch their videos. Okay.
Fantastic.
okay. So the ancient Moabites, have you heard of them?
The ancient Moabites?
Moabites.
Moabites.
Moabites. Yeah. No. They worshiped these gods that went by different names, but they also went by the names Chemosh and Molech. You probably heard of Moloch, right?
Yeah, everyone knows Moloch.
Yeah, okay. So they would celebrate, these ancient Moabites would celebrate by doing a public child sacrifice during the winter solstice during December 25th. They would celebrate, okay, so they would build up to this anticipated time of the year by all of the parents coming together and compiling wish lists of things they would like to see happen in the coming year. Then they would bring all of the infants that were born that year to the idol Moloch. Then as they were bringing their screaming infants to this idol, there's a priest that would stoke large fires inside an iron idol of the deity. And then the parents would bring their like screaming kids to the idol and lay the child on the lap of Moloch, who wore the Phrygian cap. The Phrygian cap that Santa still wears to this day. That's that same pointy freaking cap.
That's so fucking scary.
Yeah.
I like to think that the scientists at the time too, you turn to them and they're like, oh yeah, this is what we look. We researched this. This is good shit.
Yeah. So they would put their screaming baby on the lap of this deity Moloch who's wearing this Santa hat. And as they were doing that, they would profess their long list of requests. So today we see people at the mall bringing their screaming infant or children to the lap of a complete stranger while they say their requests.
Yep. And then they go sit on their phone while their kid's playing that outdoor kitty jungle thing. And their parents are just on their fucking phone the whole time, not seeing any of the shit they're doing.
Exactly. So in this version, they talk about how babies and young children cry when they see Santa because they can sense the dark demonic forces behind symbolism. But then within a few years, they begin to love Santa Claus and they look at Santa as this all-knowing, all-giving deity, just as the ancient Moabites did with Moloch and Chemosh.
Eventually you'll learn to love Moloch. I've always said that.
Exactly. Well, because he giveth, right? You just have to give him child sacrifices. And when you're a child, you're like, oh, fuck no, that's me. But then after you're not that child anymore, you're like, oh, okay, yeah, we can sacrifice children. I get what I want. I get a PS5. Okay.
Dude, after you sit next to a kid on an airline, you're like, yeah, we can sacrifice kids. That's totally fine. That's totally
Yeah, exactly.
Normal. It's very normal.
So Santa, when you think about Santa, what does he do? He has a list of who's naughty and nice, and he gives all the nice children gifts, but he punishes the bad children with coal, which is reminiscent of the flames of Moloch. He flies a chariot across the sky, like Odin. He is a deity of prosperity. And then this is why they say that it's surprising that Christians would promote Santa Claus, because basically their children will believe Santa is real with all their hearts, because you're telling them Santa's real. Like, there's this guy, you better believe in him. You better believe. And then one day they're completely crushed with the reality that he is not. And if you're Steve Green, it was when he was 13 years old. He
I was 14.
Diehard believed in it until he was, you were 14?
I was 15 years old, Mickey.
You're disgusting.
Please correct that. I was like 9.
You said you were 13.
No, I wasn't. It's just funnier.
Oh, 9's not even that long. Okay.
Yeah, whatever. I was 9. It's fine.
That's not as
funny. No, it just killed Christmas for me for a while, because I was like, damn, dude, this shit was magical before.
Right.
Yeah.
So once they find out that he's not real, and that they were actually being tricked by their parents all this whole time, it causes this distrust, and then they start to doubt scripture, which is the intent behind it all along.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And then there's an even darker past with his elves. You wanted to know about the elves?
I do, indeed.
All right. Well, here's the dark shit about the elves. So Santa is actually identified as an elf in other parts of the world. And elves are witches and wizards. That is their definition. And they're identified by their pointy caps. And they are teachers of the dark arts. There's a Satanist named H.P. Blavatsky who says that elves are actually disembodied spirits that use magic and sorcery, and they're actually the principal agents whenever you do a seance. So, like, they're the ones that come in and, like...
Frankly, I don't really care what they are as long as they can make toys.
These ones don't sound like they make toys.
Oh, shit, okay.
Okay, so in other countries that refer to Santa Claus as Sinterklaas, like Germany and the Dutch and all of them, he's always seen in the far back imagery. There's a bunch of imagery of Sinterklaas being accompanied by these dark forces, which are often referred to as the Krampus. Have you heard of the Krampus?
Only recently, but it sounds like a movie reference that I know of, and that's it.
Okay, well, the Krampus is a half-goat, half-man demon that goes with Santa from house to house delivering gifts. He, like, is his right-hand man. And it wasn't until the 1500s that Santa became this nice old man who gave gifts, and he was Christianized as Saint Nicholas. Supposedly based off that first story of Nicholas of Myra earlier, who was this amazing nice guy, right? He would leave gifts under the tree on his birthday if you've been good. But if not, his demons, a.k.a. his Krampuses, would abduct you or beat you with sticks. And Saint Nicholas supposedly captured Satan and called him by various names. And in some cultures, So they called Satan by various names, one of which is Old Nick.
Can I ask you, Nikki?
Yeah.
When you were a kid, did the naughty nice list thing work on you? Were you like, oh, shit?
No, because I always just believed I was nice no matter what, so.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I still kind of, like, I don't do anything bad. Like, I feel like
Didn't this get you to do dishes and shit like it did for me?
No, fuck no. Oh, I did dishes, dude, because I wanted to make money.
We never got incentivized by money that way.
Oh,
it was
sucks.
Like, you're doing it because you're part of the household, actually, you little shit. And then if you wanted to not be on the bad list and you want Santa to come, then you have to do basically everything your parents say.
Oh, so you lived in like a socialist family and I lived in a capitalist family.
Wait, what's socialist about it?
Well, because like you got to work, you just got to work and then everybody gets gifts if you work, right?
Oh, that's true. And my parents controlled the money supply. So it's very true.
They were the government.
Good point.
Yeah. Well, and in my household, like if you didn't do your chores, you didn't get allowance. And I motherfucking wanted allowance because
we didn't have allowance because they tried it for like 3 weeks and then they were like, this is way too much money.
Yeah, but you know what? Your parents, they would buy you like like they bought you everything, right? They went into like they would use their credit cards. They would buy. You guys got the newest gaming consoles.
Yes,
you guys
at
got
Christmas. Yes, Christmas was sick.
Yeah, so we didn't get that, which is I don't care at all. Like I love my parents, but like we had to if we wanted something nice, like if we wanted to buy an N64, you had to save up your allowance to get it.
Oh no! For me, we had to just exist for a certain amount of time and make it to the next year.
See, yeah, so that's why you had a different regime.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, where was I? Oh yeah, the naughty nice list. Yeah, so that didn't really work on me because I just think you should be a good person no matter what.
Nah. You need incentive.
Yeah, I mean, I guess. Oh, you know what it was? I was just more scared of punishment, like, of my dad. Not the naughty nice list.
That's but, me like, too, frankly.
My dad.
Yeah, me too. But my dad wasn't around that much. But when he was, oh, buddy.
Yeah. I was always in fear of like, maybe I fucked up and like something happened and like I overlooked something. So, I tried extra hard to be nice.
How long did you believe in Santa for?
Okay. So I was like 7 when I figured it out, but I let it go for another couple years because I really thought once I told someone that, I would stop getting those extra presents. I saw them as being extra presents.
Nice. And they were always good too with my parents.
Yeah. But so what, so I was terrified because I was like, oh, I want those extra presents. But I mean, what ended up happening is they just still put it as Santa because I was the oldest. So they still had to make it look like I was getting Santa gifts for the younger children.
The key Santa loophole for me was always how the fuck do parents not know where the presents came from?
Or how come they don't double gift, you know?
Right.
I'm like, how do they know which ones Santa was getting and which ones they were going to get?
Yeah, because they have some kind of pipeline to Santa. And then I'm like, my parents can't even get a pipeline to the fucking DMV. They're yelling on the phone the whole time.
Exactly.
I know they're not talking to Santa in the North Pole, pal. No fucking way.
I didn't actually think my parents had a direct line to Santa. I was just like, I thought they were just as surprised as me.
Well, we were told that the mall Santas had some sort of pipeline to the big guy.
Oh, I was always told they were fake.
Well, no, we were told they were fake, but that they were representations of Santa, almost like mayors or town assemblymen.
Oh, I guess I was a little bit more cynical. Like I always felt like I could detect bullshit. Like even when I was a kid, I was like, no, those guys are fake. I didn't even stand in the line. I didn't want to even sit on that guy's lap because like irrelevant.
Oh dude, I was like the Red Ryder BB gun kid. I was like, as long as I tell him what's up, I'll be good. I'll be square.
You're so dumb when you're a kid.
Yeah, it's the best.
So let's get back to Krampus here. In some cultures, they actually dropped Sinterklaas altogether, and all that remained was this Satan figure, Krampus. And there's a lot of imagery where Santa is actually known to be Satan himself. So there is no Santa. There's only Satan that comes to your house during this time.
That's heavy.
Yeah, and he is portrayed as the goat-headed mighty one, and is worshipped in Satanism and pagan worship by the name Baphomet.
And is also called Baphomet.
Yeah, is also called the Horned One, and sometimes is depicted with the horns of the reindeer.
He's definitely got some horns.
Yeah, well, sometimes he has goat horns, but because like Krampus is half goat, half demon, right? But sometimes he's got horns of a reindeer. And in the 1970s, get this, in the 1970s, the Second Vatican Council stated that there was no Roman Catholic bishop by the name of St. Nicholas. He never existed. So that guy from Myra, nope, didn't happen. He never was a person, ever. And that any legends at all that was attributed to St. Nicholas had no Christian origin and was actually just probably stem from pagan traditions.
Dude, that's what they did to the Da Vinci Code too. They said Da Vinci Code wasn't even real, and I was like, yeah, right.
Wait, what? They said Da Vinci
Code? They said Da Vinci Code wasn't even real, and I'm like...
Oh, you're talking about like the book?
Yeah.
By Dan Brown? The biography?
Yeah. Yeah. How they found out about Mary and all that stuff.
No, so but like... You mean the story that happened in the book?
Yeah, they said that wasn't even real.
With Mary Magdalene?
Yes.
And the Knights of Templar?
Uh-huh.
Well, that all I think is real.
Of course it is. It's in the book.
It was in a book, yeah.
Yeah, it was in the book.
So how could it not be?
Exactly.
Yeah, well, anyway, so anytime someone was like, wait, he was a real man that existed, the Roman Catholic Church would be like, no, he didn't. Prove it.
So, but they revised that just recently, didn't that?
The 1970s.
Isn't that, there's historical documentation of the guy, though, so.
Yeah, they were like, no, he didn't. They were trying to fucking gaslight us.
They're trying to cover up Santa Claus's origins?
Yeah, so anyway, and if you look at the Oxford English Dictionary, it states the devil goes by a lot of different names, one of them being Old Nick. This is from the Oxford Dictionary. Mm. December, as I was talking about before, was known as the darkest time. And it was also known as a time where spirits reigned free because, like, the sun was very limited. So spirits, they love the darkness. They're like, they're all over the place. They're like, woo-woo. They're fucking raging because it's the dark time. So you would bring evergreens into your home to represent ongoing life. And you would deck the halls with boughs of holly. And then you would also burn a Yule log for 12 days straight, which is where the 12 days of Christmas comes from. And it had to be kindled with a piece of log from the year before. That was the tradition. You had to start the new log with a piece of the log from the year before. And this was to keep the ancestral spirits happy because they lived through the fire. And therefore, the fire was kept burning with offerings of food and sacrifice. Originally, the sacrifice was made of human beings and animals.
But then they made them into cookie shapes. And so it's all good.
Well, yeah. So the World Book Encyclopedia talks about the belief that Santa comes down the chimney because it was actually developed from an old Norse legend that the deity Hertha appeared in the fireplace and brought good luck into the home. And the Druids would have a treat waiting for Hertha consisting of milk and pastries to appease this particular deity. This is where the milk and cookies came from for Santa. It's actually
imagine having a god for everything.
Dude, but I mean, like a lot of cultures do, like the Greek culture did, Hawaiian culture, it makes sense to me because like it's the elements. So it's like fire, wind, water, like each one has a different god. And it makes sense because they kind of seem personified. Like you ever encounter an angry wind? Like,
oh yeah.
Sometimes the wind is fucking angry. I'm dude. Like, I relate. I sometimes I'm going through that time of the month and I'm like, dude, I fucking relate to this wind.
Dude, in Santa Ana winds, especially on the East Coast where houses were built way fucking earlier and I grew up in one.
Yeah.
The way that the wind whistles through your walls is like super strange and scary as fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
But they had a god for the fucking fireplace, dude. Although I will say nowadays we need more gods because like I could use a printer god. I could never get the fucking printer to work, especially if you want to do Wi-Fi printing.
Well, it wasn't for the fireplace. It was during the time of the year where spirits were reigning free. So the one spirit that would enter the fire was this one named Hertha. So it was during this time of the year only. It wasn't like anytime you lit your fireplace, there's a god in there.
I see. That's weird.
Yeah.
Thank you for clarifying that.
You're welcome. But if you want a Wi-Fi printer god, like make sure it's just during this time of the year because that's when the spirits are out.
No, but dude, our Wi-Fi printer gods have forsaken us, dude. So I'm not even going to mess around.
It makes a lot of sense too that this would be the time of the spirits because like there's like what's up with the ghost of Christmas past and future and present? Like why are they ghosts? You know, like there's a lot of ghost stories related to Christmas.
Yeah, because it's kind of a creepy time of the year. I always thought it was kind of terrifying, the idea that Santa was coming to see me tonight or coming into my house.
Yeah, this whole idea of Santa.
Not exactly, especially now as a gun owner. I definitely am not as into it.
Oh, before you were more into it?
I'm just thinking as a kid, man. As a kid, it was creepy. It was creepy as fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I didn't really think of it that way, I guess. I was like,
towards my later belief in Santa, it started to get fucking weird.
I guess because you had a chimney growing up.
Yeah, we did.
We never had a chimney. So I was just like, he must like leave them at the door and then someone brings them in.
Logical.
Yeah. I was just like, I don't know. Okay, I'm not bothered by it.
That's good.
He can't get in here. There's no entry.
Yeah, definitely. I don't know. It just, there's something about the entire idea of it that freaked me out, especially that night. Especially because on Christmas night, really nobody's out. Like it's very, like the streets are empty. Like there's not as many cars going by and shit. So you just feel more alone. Hmm. And so the idea of an old man coming to your house and he has these magic powers, it's just freaky kind of.
Yeah, it's pretty freaky, I guess. You had a different childhood than me, I think, because the East Coast, you actually like had snow and it was probably cold, and so people didn't go out. So on our family, and you've been to our family's Christmas Eve traditions, like we always go walk around this place called Naples in Long Beach because they have like bomb ass Christmas lights. And so there's fuck tons of people out on Christmas Eve usually.
Yeah, our Christmas Eve was always everyone's at home inside. Usually it's snowing outside or it's fucking cold anyway. You don't want to go outside.
Yeah.
And then we all just kind of hang out and drink hot cocoa and watch a Christmas movie. But now we can drink alcohol, which is even better.
That's tight. Yeah. I actually prefer yours because, like, I don't like walking that much.
I gotta say.
I always felt pressured to go walking.
It was fun the first time, but once you see it once, everyone just does the same thing every fucking year. So.
Yeah. I mean, they do throw a contest, so like people try to switch it up, but still.
But once you've seen one of these houses, I swear you've seen them all.
Yeah.
Not to be too mean about it, but really, really is beautiful. It really is beautiful what people do down there in Naples. It's beautiful.
But I think I realized why they actually started this tradition, not because they want to see the Christmas lights, but actually it was an excuse for all the adults to put alcohol in their coffee mugs. They're like thermos coffee mugs. There was a lot of kids. Like, it was a way to get them out of the house and tire them out so that we would go to sleep.
I've noticed that. That
makes sense, right?
A drinking social, yeah.
Yeah, then the kids all grew up, and now we just join them with the alcohol, and nobody really has any kids that need to be drained from energy, but we still do it.
So it's a blast.
Yeah. Well, anyway, those are the four different theories that I found on the origins of Santa Claus. Which one do you like the best?
I think I'm with you on the second one being the most connected to my childhood understanding of Santa.
The mushrooms?
Yeah, the mushrooms one. Well, because it has everything, basically.
Yeah.
Except for, like, fucking Mrs. Claus, basically. I mean, it's got everything else.
Yeah, it covers all the bases.
Yeah. But I think the most interesting one is the last one.
Yeah, Moloch.
Yeah, because...
Moloch, it makes sense because he upended a Christian holiday.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're Satan, like that's what you want to do, right? Is like take over a Christian holiday and get all of the Christians worshiping you instead of.
And other than Easter, this is the Christian holiday, so
it's exactly.
Pretty good way of doing that.
Well, I don't know. Maybe the Easter Bunny is Satan too.
Dude, it's got to be something like that because I remember my neighbor lady. She was pissed about two things: Santa Claus and the fucking Easter Bunny. She thought both of them diverted too much from Jesus, and it was fucked up.
Well, think about it. Are they bunny ears or are they horns?
Exactly. It could be like that. Especially if you've seen that movie Donnie Darko, it could just be a fucked up looking bunny.
Yeah, it's true. So true. Yeah, so I thought that was all pretty interesting. I bet like it's probably a mixture of all of those stories combined. There was probably a really nice guy named Nicholas that did all that stuff. I believe in that guy was a real guy. Yeah. I can buy that.
I'll go
But I don't think he ever tried to take over the holiday. He just like thought that he wanted to bring some extra life and love into the world during that time.
Wasn't trying to make it about him.
Exactly. He tried to do it anonymously.
Can I ask you, Nikki, what would be your ideal Christmas Eve / day? What is your perfect thought of that?
Honestly, I love family, right? So I love everybody being at home. Except for every time I see my family on Christmas Eve, like I have to leave my cats, but I would ideally like all my cats to be there. And
there's a lot now. There's a lot.
There's a lot more. There's double the cats that we normally have now.
Yes.
I really like playing games. That's my favorite part of Christmas Eve is like playing games. And lately, the past couple of years, people like haven't wanted to play games. And it's really a bummer because then I get all drunk and I have all this energy. And like, I just want to beat somebody at a game.
She will yell for 3 hours about how nobody's playing
games. I don't even care what game it is. I just want to be hyper competitive at a game and like get my energy out and then go to bed.
And this doesn't even really have to be about Christmas, guys. This could be just is just Nikki drinking with family around. She's like, why doesn't anyone want to play a game? Why does nobody want to play games?
It's like you get drunk and then like what? I'm just supposed to sit here until I fall asleep now? Like,
yeah, it sucks. You like to do something with it.
I like to do something. I like to like get everyone's energy up and like involved in something. And
so she's not dancing or playing games, then there's no point. Put her to bed already.
Yeah, exactly. And my family is really funny too. Like, everybody roasts each other. So the more you can get them like riled up, like, the more fun it is.
Yep.
So yeah, I enjoy making a festive drink, a festive alcoholic beverage, whether that be eggnog or spiked hot chocolate or apple cider.
The eggnog's always out. I'm sick of hearing about it.
I know.
Always out.
It is always out.
Yep.
It's really good though. Makes sense.
I've had it one time. It was like 5 years ago. But it's every time it's out.
There was one year where we got addicted to eggnog and then we got really fat.
That's for sure, dude.
Yeah.
Eggnog can blend me out like nothing else that exists.
Yeah.
I think it's an evil drink.
I think it's better that you're better off that the eggnog's always gone.
Dude, remember, Nikki, when we found that Pennsylvania Dutch?
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the brand.
Very good, but my God, is that shit just, it just calls you right up.
Thick. It's a thick boy.
It is a thick boy.
It's a thick boy, but it's very good.
Very good.
But yeah, so thank you so much for listening to The Origins of Santa, but also thank you so much for just listening to our podcast in general. We're so thankful for you guys. I'm glad that you like coming back. I'm also thankful that Steve can recover from COVID in his room.
Feeling
thankful
good.
For that.
Feeling strong, by the way.
Yeah. And I just wanted to say thank you. So even if you haven't yet rated our podcast, which you should really consider doing, it's on iTunes. I mean, it really helps us out a lot, but you know, no pressure.
No.
But even if you're not one of those people, we still are thankful for you.
Yeah. We'll try to find it in our hearts to be thankful for you. So we are bigger. We're bigger people.
I found a piece in my heart.
We're big. We're bigger. We're the bigger people, really.
That's why I was, because, you know, we're the bigger people for sure. For sure. Mm-hmm. For sure. I mean, even if you're not one of the people that wrote in lots of compliments for us over the years, we still somehow really appreciate you.
No, it's somehow that's fine. But thanks for listening, everybody. We love you guys. And we'll see you next time on Shit They Don't Tell You.
Bye.
Bye.